Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart. God took a sheep from Tekoa and a pitcher of sycamore to leave his home in the southern camp and to go and proclaim his word in the northern camp. His name was Amos. And he received from God a very powerful message. The date of his writing, we believe, is between 760 and 760. In Amos, we encounter the act-result connection. In other words, deeds that shape destiny. Chapter 1 of Amos, we read about Yahweh's reaction to human behavior. In Amos chapter 1, verse 1, we read the words of Amos, one of the shepherds of Tekoa, what he saw concerning Israel 2 years before the earthquake when Uzziah, king of Judah, and Jeroboam, that is Jeroboam II, son of Jehoash, was king of Israel. Now, notice, we read that Amos saw words. And the Hebrew word here for words, the Hebrew word debar, or we only use consonants, BBR. Debar is a very powerful and dynamic term in the Old Testament. Debar means word as activity, or word as action, or word as event. I could go on and on with the magnitude of this particular word. Debar also means the word that carries within itself the unity of incarnative and predictive elements, and it is also address and command, as well as dynamic event. Such is some of the meaning of this very powerful word. Amos saw words. And in verse 2, we read, he said, the Lord roared, Sa'ag. And it depicts the lion's roar as it pounces upon its prey. The Lord roars from Zion and thunders from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds dry up at the tops, the top of Carmel, the book of Exodus, it speaks about the thunder and the lightning. It speaks of the thunder as the voice of God. Such is the lofty and beautiful and profound theology of the theologians of the Old Testament, who knew the Word of God and understood that God knew human nature, the minute exactitude, and therefore God and his spokespersons were well qualified in dealing with the detailed life and an understanding of problems. along the presence of evil within the human heart. Now God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to eternal life through Christ the Savior. The name Amos means load or burden. And in chapter 1 of the book of Amos, we read that Yahweh's rule extends to all nations. And in chapter 1 of God of Amos, God is dealing with the fact that Yahweh saw what the different kings were doing, and therefore God dealing with crimes against humanity. Crimes against humanity. So Yahweh is not really the God of the people who lived in the Mount of Israel or Western Asia. Chapter 2 of Amos, verse 1, we read, "This is what the Lord says. For the reasons of Moab, even for sure, I will not turn back my wrath, because he burned at night to find the bones of Edom's king. I will set fire upon Moab, and will consume the fortress of Kedioth. Moab will go down in great tumult amid war cries and the blast of the trumpet. I will destroy her and kill all the officials of the kingdom." Verse 4. This is what the Lord says. For 3 cents of Judah. From 4. I will not turn back my wrath, because they, and the people of God, the kingdom, have rejected the Torah of the Lord, and have not kept his decree, because they have been led astray by false gods, or by the gods of their ancestors. Father, I will set fire upon Judah, that will consume the fortresses of Judah's stuff. Here's the wisdom of Amos. In chapter 1, God talks about crimes against humanity and its judgment upon those kingdoms. And at the beginning of verse 2, he talks about Moab. Chapter 2, he talks about Moab. And down to verse 4, he begins to speak about Judah. In verse 6, now Amos brings it home. He gets the attention of the people of the northern kingdom by announcing God's judgments upon other people, even on people of Judah. Then Amos brings it home and he speaks about God's judgment on the northern kingdom, Israel. This six of the Lord says, "For 3 cents of Israel, even for 4, I will not turn back my wrath, if you fall on righteous for silver, and the needy for up the earth's mantles. They trample on the heads of the poor, as upon the dust of the ground, and deny justice to the oppressed. Father, Son, use the same hope." Section 14. So profane my holy name, may I lie down beside every altar of promise, take it in pledge. In the house of their God, they drink wine, take it as fines or taxes. God said, "I destroyed the Amorites before them, though he was tall than the cedars and strong than the oaks. I destroyed his truth above and his roots below. I brought you up out of Egypt, and I led you for 40 years in the desert to give you the land of the Amorites. I also raised up prophets from among your sons and Nazarites from among your young men. Is this not true? People of Israel," declares the Lord. And so God announces his judgment on the people of Israel, and then what are we to think? If God has consistently announced judgment upon his own people in the Old Testament, what about the church? What about our duty? Is not the Babylonian captivity of the church over? Has not the church been at liberty through the blood of Christ? Are we not to do as Jesus said? Jesus said, "This commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is my commandment. You are to do it, you are to practice it. What have you done with the command of Jesus to love one another?" Paul writes that we are indeed members of them. Members of the prevention. We are members of the body of Christ. And why have we saw fit to compromise the message of God? Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you." Agape, John 3:16, agape is the noun of action. Jesus, the word faith, of action. Agape is something that we are to practice, not talk about, not be cognitive assent. That's not faith. That's not following the word of God. How can we help all nations be what it must be for God if we do not follow the word of God? If we do not practice love as Jesus said to practice love, why has the church ghettoed itself upon persons look like one another? The fake identity of race that the enemy consistently uses against the church has more about the church. And I pray that salt has not left lost its savor. I pray that the city of the hill is still there. I pray that the light of the church has not been set under control. Because this radical message of the gospel is a message of love. There's a message of what God has done for humanity needs to go out. Look at the people, their hopelessness and their lostness. Look at what they do. Look at the costumes they wear. Listen to the words they say. We are so lost. And it is not up to the church to set in its buildings and say, "Thank God that we're not among them." Cults tell their people, "Don't mix with the other." Jesus said to his church, "Go ye therefore into all the world, publish the good news. Go ye therefore into all the world, publish the good news." I pray that the Western Church has not lost his eternal message. Anything, my name is Dr. Josiah Richie. God bless.